Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. Witness Lee faithfully served the Lord for more than seven decades, co-laboring with Watchman Nee in China in the first half of the 20th century, before continuing his ministry in Taiwan, later in America, and eventually over the entire earth. He spoke these weekly life study messages before thousands of people, and much of his speaking has been published as over 400 titles. These life studies are perhaps his most significant work, taking 21 years for him to complete, and we're happy today to be able to bring you selected portions from those messages. If you'd like to find out more about his ministry, about the life studies themselves, and Living Stream Ministry, please visit our website, lsm.org. Now let's join today's program.
In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 17 says, "For the law was given through Moses, grace and reality came through Jesus Christ." How we as New Testament believers treasure the coming of grace and the gospel of grace that appeared in Christ. But did you know that this same gospel of faith and grace was also preached to Abraham hundreds of years before Moses even received the commandments from God? Don't miss this riveting message of faith and the promise of the gospel on today's Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program furnished by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Gary Kaiser is back with us again. Gary, thanks for joining us today. We're going to get into Galatians chapter 3, verse 8, the verse that we're going to focus on. Let me read it. "The scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles out of faith announced the gospel beforehand to Abraham, in you shall all the nations be blessed." Gary, it's amazing that Paul recalled the Lord's word to Abraham and identified it as the gospel in the book of Galatians. We're going to look at four words today early on that we touched in our life study of Hebrews, but maybe you could give us a little review, the difference between these four words: a word, a promise, a covenant, and a testament.
Okay, Matt, a word is just a common or ordinary speaking. A promise is not ordinary. It's a specific word given with a definite purpose. In Genesis 12, we'll talk about today, God spoke a specific word of promise to Abraham. A seed would be given in which all the nations would be blessed. And also that seed would possess the land. A covenant is the promise ratified to be a legal agreement. The things that were spoken of in the promise now go through a process by which they become a legal document. But that document projects something that will be accomplished. It is not the accomplished fact. The testament is when all the facts are accomplished. Now it has become to the ones who have been promised. It has become a will. It is a ratified but also accomplished document.
So a word, a promise, a covenant, and a testament. I very much appreciate this life study message that's before us today. I think our listeners are going to hear and enjoy a very animated, a very strengthened, and an empowered Witness Lee, who was by that time probably in his late 70s, I think. But he was much empowered by the Spirit.
Amen.
Let's join him now for this portion of this very important and enjoyable life study from the book of Galatians.
Even 2,000 years before Christ came, the gospel was preached to Abraham. In Genesis 12, you do have some definite word spoken to Abraham by God. And the definite word was mainly of these 2 points. Number one, in you shall all the nations be blessed. That means in Abraham. Of course, in a corporate you. In Abraham, including his seed. That is Christ. In you, including Christ, shall the nations be blessed. Then the word in Genesis 12 went on to say that Abraham, to you and to your seed, I will give this land. These two items have to be considered as the main things of God's word to Abraham. All the nations shall be blessed in Abraham, especially in his unique seed, that is Christ. And then that good land shall be given to him, especially to that unique seed of his, which was Christ. This was God's word. Later on, Paul says that the word spoken by God to Abraham was a promise. This promise was made a covenant. The word, the promise, the covenant. And a covenant ratified by God. This word, the promise, the covenant was the gospel. You have 4 things all referring to the same matter. The word of God, the promise, the covenant, and the gospel.
Gary, the substance of God speaking to Abraham can be summarized in these 2 points that we just heard Witness Lee talk about. In Abraham's seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. And second, the good land of Canaan would be given to Abraham and his seed. How do these 2 items equate to the gospel that we as New Testament believers embrace?
Well, Paul's thought here in Galatians is quite deep. Maybe it's helpful if we can read the verses particularly involved here.
That'd be good.
Galatians chapter 3, 14 through 16. Here we read, in order that the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brothers, I speak according to man, though it is a man's covenant, yet when it has been ratified, no one nullifies it or makes additions to it. But to Abraham were the promises spoken, and to his seed. He does not say, and to the seeds, as concerning many, but as concerning one, and to your seed, who is Christ. So these 2 aspects are here embraced by Paul concerning what was promised to Abraham. First, the seed, referring here specifically to Christ, brings a blessing to all the nations. And in Christ, this is accomplished. This is a fact. We have received the promise. That is, the promise seed has been given. And that seed is a blessing to all the nations. However, of course, if you don't receive it, there's no blessing. So it's crucial that we recognize this promised blessing is uniquely in Christ. It's when we receive Christ that we come into an organic relationship with him. And we then receive the promise which was given to Abraham. Then that promise actually is the Spirit, as we see in Paul's word here. So the reality of Christ is experienced by us when we receive the Spirit. The promise is Christ, we receive the Spirit. The second thing is that the seed will receive the land. That is, the land will be given to the seed of Abraham. also typifies Christ. He's the centrality and the universality of God's eternal economy. Christ is the land. It's enjoyed by us as the Spirit. So the seed is Christ. The Spirit is the application. The land is the all-inclusive Christ, experienced by us and enjoyed by us as this all-inclusive Spirit.
As we talk about Christ and the Spirit in relationship to the promise given to Abraham, in our portion, there was some terminology that Witness Lee uses and that we use that our listeners might not be familiar with. For example, the all-inclusive Spirit. Can you talk about this a little bit?
Well, specifically, the all-inclusive Spirit refers to the consummated process, triune God. Of course, these also are terms that we use freely and may not be understood well by our listeners. In Christ, God has passed through a process. That is, he was incarnated. He lived a human life. He was crucified. He was resurrected. He ascended. This is all a process through which he has passed. And the consummation of that process is the Spirit. When we refer to the all-inclusive Spirit, we're talking about God in his Trinity, now with every item included in the process. That is to say, he is divine, but he's also human. He has death, he has human life, he has resurrection, he has ascension. He is the all-inclusive Spirit. So when we refer to the all-inclusive Spirit, we have a vast array within our mind of all that God is in Christ, now as this life-giving Spirit.
That's helpful, Gary. Thanks. Let me read Galatians 3:2, which is going to be the focus of our next portion with Witness Lee. This only I wish to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit out of the works of the law or out of the hearing of faith? Let's go back to Witness Lee.
At Abraham's time, it could never be testament. It was only covenant. In this covenant, there was the promise of God promising that all the nations shall be blessed in Abraham's seed, and the good land shall be given to this seed. This was a promise that was made, a ratified covenant. But today, the new covenant has become already a new testament because all the promised things have been accomplished by Christ. All the nations have been blessed in Christ. We all have been blessed. And the good land have been given. So now we are not receiving a new covenant. We are receiving what? A new testament. We are receiving a will. And this will, listen, dear saints, is the gospel. Paul was marvelous. Without him finding out these, I don't think today we can discover, we would have the boldness to say, my, the covenant God ratified with Abraham was the gospel. Pray to him. And here Paul says, the scripture, that means the holy writing, foreseeing, the Bible foresaw that God would justify the nations by faith. So, because of this, the scripture preached, the Bible preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham. Paul was marvelous. The New Testament is a continuation, a repetition of what God promised to Abraham. By reading Paul's word, I can realize in Genesis 12, in Genesis 15, in Genesis 17, in all those chapters, what Abraham had there. He had the hearing of faith. In Genesis 12, 15 and 17, what Abraham did there, he did nothing. He had only the hearing that stir up a kind of appreciation within Abraham, a kind of faith. So it says there, Abraham believed God, and God reckoned his believing righteousness. This was what? This was the preaching of the gospel. And the preaching of the gospel was received by the hearer, Abraham, through hearing of faith. So this gospel is by faith through man's believing.
You know, Gary, we've had some wonderful fellowship in the past programs on this verse, Galatians chapter 3, verse 2, regarding the hearing of faith. Now today we're seeing that Abraham was really a forerunner for all of us in this matter. In fact, the response in him that was generated by his hearing the word that God spoke to him eventually was accounted to him as righteousness. How about us? Does our response to this hearing of God speaking also produce righteousness on our account?
Well, Matt, of course, we have to give a resounding yes to this.
Amen.
This is our experience. This is our testimony. When we hear God speaking in the gospel, there is an experiential response within us. We recognize, we realize God in Christ makes himself available to us through faith in him. And the word given to us becomes within us the response of faith. We hear the word, we believe, we receive. These three things are actively involved. We hear, we respond, and we receive.
Amen.
This is our experience. So here, Paul affirms that the one who is the promised blessing has been received by us. He's affirming that this promise is here. We receive it as the Spirit. He also tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for example, that the one who knew no sin became sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him.
Amen.
We hear it. We believe it. We receive it. We appreciate what God has done in Christ. Same thing is true concerning his word in Romans chapter 8, where he speaks about those who were predestinated, called, and then he uses the word, those who are called are also justified. Praise the Lord. Justified indicates the righteousness of God has been applied to us. We are justified.
Amen.
Through faith in Christ.
Amen.
What a grace and what a glory that we have this kind of experience by simply hearing the word of God and responding with an appreciation within our being, which we call faith.
You know, sometimes we get the hearing of faith when we are speaking ourselves the words of faith. That's going to happen to Witness Lee in this coming section. He gets filled with the enjoyment of what he is presenting to all those hearing. And I really encourage our listeners, if you could enter into his enjoyment and his burden, that you will have a response of faith in the coming section. Let's go to Witness Lee.
The good land typifying the all-inclusive Christ, realized by the all-inclusive life-giving Spirit to be the blessing of the gospel. The gospel was a promise given to Abraham. And the gospel is this: in you shall all the nations be blessed. The blessing promised to Abraham comes through Christ's redemption. So curse is away and blessing comes. So all the nations have been blessed in Abraham's unique seed. Blessed with the good land as the center. That good land was a full type, an all-inclusive type of the all-inclusive Christ. And this all-inclusive Christ today, after his resurrection, is fully realized as and by the all-inclusive life-giving spirit. So, eventually, this all-inclusive life-giving spirit to us is the good land. This is the reason we have the base to say that the all-inclusive life-giving spirit is the good land. In other words, dear saints, the good land is just the process triune God. In God's gospel, what does he give us? He gives us the third heavens. He gives us just himself. This process God today is fully realized by the all-inclusive spirit who indwells our spirit. Where is our good land today? In our spirit. And the most wonderful thing is this. When this all-inclusive spirit comes into our spirit, there is a transaction, transpired. And this transaction is what we call the organic union. Oh, the organic union! It is not a small thing. The grafting begins from the appreciation and accomplishes with the baptism. Since the time you heard the gospel, some appreciation was stirred up within you. Then you were willing to be baptized. This organic union has accomplished. This means a kind of grafting has been accomplished. You have been grafted into the triune God. A sinner, by believing in Jesus, can be baptized into the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Isn't this something marvelous? As a sinner, you can be baptized into the triune God. What is this? This is an intrinsic union, a union in life, organic union.
Amen.
Hallelujah! And this organic union is in you all.
Amen.
Hallelujah! You have this organic union.
Amen.
Just come back to your spirit.
Amen.
Again and again. Amen. And again.
Amen.
And again.
Amen.
And again. And do a lot of hearing.
Amen.
The more hearing you get, the more appreciation, the more calling, the more receiving, the more accepting, the more joining, the more partaking, and the more enjoying. This will make you crazy, maybe more than I. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
This is our blessing.
Amen.
The blessing of the gospel.
Amen.
What is this? The process triune God to be the all-inclusive, life-giving spirit. This corresponds to what God accomplished by Christ.
Right.
Wonderful. What God promised to Abraham corresponds with what God accomplished by Christ, which is the fulfillment of his promise to Abraham, according to God's eternal purpose and his New Testament economy.
You know, Gary, the speaking of these words that God accomplished in Christ really produces a response of faith. I doubt if very many dear saints in the Lord listening to this program today have ever realized that the gospel of Christ was really the completion of what God first spoke to Abraham. There is a significance of the good land as Abraham's inheritance that cannot really be overstated, can it?
It's really a glory and a joy to enter into these things. And when you begin to hear this word, it has a response within you. Immediately, there is a joy. There is an excitement. There is a craziness. We enter into another realm. It's an organic union with the process triune God. We use these words to try to convey to ourselves the reality of what we experience in this marvelous Christ who has become now the life-giving Spirit, who is the consummation of the process triune God, who is the response to Abraham's promise. It is the reality. It is the completion of what God promised to Abraham. We have it. We're enjoying it.
Amen.
We're here richly supplied by this fresh realization that comes by hearing. So as our brother has encouraged us, hear again and again, and you will have faith rising up within you again and again, even making you crazy in this wonderful Christ.
Boy, these are the words that I want to hear. You use the word crazy just as our brother Witness Lee did in that section. This is a good kind of crazy. It's not a crazy that negates the sober-mindedness that we have in Christ. In fact, to me, it's when our mind is crazy that we're the most sober, because it's free from all the vain things that try to distract us all the time. That was an enjoyable section, and I've had the same experience in our fellowship today, Gary. I really appreciate that you came in and could be with us again. Thanks for this program.
Thank you.
We invite you to call our toll-free number for fellowship or any questions you might have. The number is 888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 888-543-3788. Our mailing address is Living Stream Ministry, P.O. Box 2121, Anaheim, California, 92814. You can always send email to us at radio@lsm.org. Well, we'll continue with the life study of Galatians. Come back and join us for our next program. On behalf of Gary Kaiser, this is Matt Miller. Thanks for listening today.
Thank you for listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. Witness Lee spent 7 decades in the 20th century speaking Christ, first in Asia and then North America, eventually all over the world. The culmination of those 70 years of ministry was his Life Study of the Bible, an exhaustive exposition of the entire Scriptures. This unique commentary focuses on how Christ can be life to man in an experiential and practical way. These programs encapsulate Witness Lee's speaking in just 26 minutes. But to get the complete riches, visit lifestudy.com. From there, you can read all of the Life Study messages in their entirety or download any of our more than 1,700 audio programs at no cost. Again, that website is lifestudy.com. Thanks for listening.